you know, I'm giving away my sauce, but I gave away my sauce last year and it still worked. So, I mean, guys got to, I guess, work against it, but, you know, I'm ready for it. I mean, I'm that much confident in myself now that I can tell you what I'm working on. I can tell you what I'm about to do, and I'm still going to do it.
Welcome back to another episode, Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, here with my boy and co-host, Naruto Perdomo. Definitely got a great episode for you guys today. But first, bro, we got to chop about some NBA. Haven't gone on air in a few weeks to talk about it. But as a Thunder fan, I'm feeling great. And it's not no fake Thunder fan. I had this since I was like, you see the Thunder stickers, since I was like 10 years old. It's been a long time. 3-1 right now, but I want to talk about your team right now. So that we recording, what day is it, Tuesday? Before
today is Tuesday.
Before Knicks Pacers, what you thinking? 2-1 series right now.
Man, you know, since you showed the OG fandom, real Knicks fans,
real Knicks fans
know who this is. I'll just give a hint, 4-point play. That's all I'll say. But yeah, bro, definitely, you know, Thunder putting B to A right now on the Wolves. They're hooping. Shea is very, very, very good at basketball.
League. Facts.
Yeah. I mean, MVP, definitely. And then, you know, J-Dub was hooping yesterday. He was making shots down the stretch. That was crazy.
Bro, I was waiting because it's like every series – He just wasn't hitting shots. Most of our roster wasn't hitting shots. Like, wide open looks that we were just making in the regular season, we just wasn't hitting. And that's why the Nuggets series was close. We wasn't hitting them. I was looking at statistics before yesterday's game. Out of the 16 playoff teams, the Thunder were shooting like the 14th worst in the series. And we swept the Grizzlies and then beat the Nuggets with Joker in 7. So I was just waiting for us to get hot. And you see, like, yesterday we put up 130. It's like, that's what I'm waiting for real. But we could also, on the flip side, like, we could really guard people too. But keep going with what you were saying.
100%. Nah, you're 100% right. Like, you know, they guard, you know, they play in the gaps and just run out on defense. And I feel like that's what really kills teams, just like the turnovers against the Thunder. Because, you know, once you turn it over, somebody's running. And also, they're just deep, bro. Like, I was going to text you this during one of the games, but I feel like they just throw different guys in the game and they just come ready to hoop, and like they all of them just hoop. Like it feels like many of them don't have any egos.
Like the X factors really be like the 9th, 10th man. Last series, Jalen Williams was very crucial in guarding Joker. And then this series, I think he's only played in one game. So it's like now it's Kenrich Williams' turn. He'll come in, play some big minutes, hit a few big shots, but all of them talk about how, like, we know some days it might not be Shea's day, I got to step up, or it might not be this guy's day, I got to step up. So it's definitely Coach Dagnall, like, some he's doing, getting their mindsets right, but it's a joy, bro, especially this is really what I wanted to bring up is I've been hearing a lot of people try to compare Ant to Shea and say, oh, Ant's the face of the league. Ant's better than Shea is, da-da-da. Bro, it's not even close in my opinion. There's definitely a level between those two. Like, if you want, like, I think Shea's here and Tatum is here. Like, I think Ant might be a little bit below that. And people saying he's not a dog like Ant, da-da-da. Ant was scared yesterday. Like, literally scared. Two shots up at the half is not going to get it done. And I'm talking crazy right now. Hopefully they don't make this a good series, but Ant's not the one.
Man, you know, I think it's tough for me to put – I got to give Tatum respect because he's a champion, bro. And, you know, Shea's probably – you know, if they don't play the Knicks, they're probably going to be a champion. But, you know what I mean? Like, well, we got to see how this season plays out first. But Shea is definitely just been a really great year. And I haven't watched a lot of OKC Thunder. I hear about it because of you. But to be able to watch these playoffs – excuse me. To be able to watch these playoffs and just see him, you know, whenever they need a clutch bucket or whenever they need, like, it's a, you know, other team is coming back, you know, he's going to give you a chance to win. So that's awesome. And then, you know, with the Knicks, man, you know, big game four tonight, really excited, you know, for the Knicks. I think that the biggest thing that I hear the players say in the post-game interviews is just like figuring out ways to win. And I, that's what I love about this Knicks team, because it's like so many people now are like, oh, Tibbs, who plays too many guys, blah, blah, blah. But then we were smacking up on the Knicks, I mean, on the Celtics, you know, playing 7-8 guys. Like, everybody was like, Knicks are going to go to the championship. You know what I mean? And, like, it's just funny how, like, you know, we're working in media, and it's kind of funny how narratives change just, like, on a week, on a day-to-day, not even week-to-week basis. It's just, it's amazing. And, you know, yeah, was I quiet when the Pacers, you know, 1-2 at home? Yeah, I was. But at the end of the day, when I watched, what I told you is that if the game is close in the fourth quarter, like, I have faith in the Knicks, especially, like, bro, game three, Brunson comes in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. He pretty much sat the whole fourth quarter. And as soon as he checks in the game, bump, get Aaron Nesmith off of him, push floater to put the
game. That was tough because it was going to the right side too. So it's like that.
And that's, yeah, you a lefty, so you know, like, that's a real tough shot to make. And you know, you got to have a lot of confidence to shoot that too.
But I want to talk a little bit about Brunson too, though, because –
like, you can. I mean, we figured out a formula, I feel like, though.
But, like, look, say what you were going to say before I bring up my critique.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, like, Knicks are just figuring out ways to win, right? So, like, yesterday, like, okay, so first game, game one, in my opinion, I was obviously upset, but, like, that was just good hoops, like, great game. But, like, in the fourth quarter before Nesmith had went off, we were up 18.
Oh, dude.
Now, or 17, something like that, right? We lose that game. It's a choke job, but I'm just like, all right, like, we were up 17 and bro hit, went 5 for 5 the last 2 minutes. Okay. Game two, it's close in the fourth, but Cat sits pretty much the whole fourth quarter for some reason and doesn't really play well in the stretch, and we drop that one. Game three, they got all the momentum. They're feeling, you know, everyone acting tough when they up. They got all the momentum. They up 20, you know, Halbert going like this to the fake celebrity row at the Pacers game, and they lose the game. And we played like 8 or 9 guys that have not played this whole series pretty much. DeLon Wright has not played. Slammy Shemek has not played, and they came in and gave us great minutes, bro. So I'm real confident going into game four, basically.
Nah, I fuck with that, but also – excuse my language too. I'm trying to work on that, so hold me accountable. But Brunson, so back-to-back games, the Knicks go on a big run when Brunson's on the bench. Mm-hmm. And really what I'm critiquing Brunson about is the Knicks, like Mikal, good player, OG, good player, Cat, obviously all-star. But when Brunson's dribbling the clock out for 18 out of 24 seconds, like, That's a lot of what the Pacers want to happen. Like, they want you to be stagnant so they could just play in a shell defense. But if he's moving the ball, which I think maybe Tibbs should try to bring up in the locker room, like, Brunson, we want you to get off of it a little bit more just to let those other guys eat. Because you're seeing as soon as he goes to the bench, their movement is starting to pick up a lot more, and that's why they're going on these big runs. But also the main point about Brunson is – that defense is looking really, really bad right now, bro. Like, they're just hunting him. They're not even trying to go at anybody else. Like, Cat's a bad defender as well, but they're like, Brunson, I want to come dance with you. So I don't know. Maybe you said you guys found a formula. I don't know, because late in the game, it was 1 or 2, but it was just like, wherever Brunson is, like, let's get him on a switch and then let's boogie. So I don't know, that's your best player. You need him on the floor for those buckets late in the game, but they're also like, all right, Brunson, you want to score, we'll just go right back at you. What you think about that?
So the one thing I'll say, like, they definitely were sharing the ball, you know, in that fourth quarter where Brunson was out. But I also feel like we attacked a different matchup. So it was like the whole game, it seemed like Rick Carlisle is cool with letting Brunson play one-on-one. But if I'm Tibbs, anytime Miles Turner is in the game, I'm playing through Cat. I'm playing through Cat every time because, like, bro, like, I would have to watch a film and go back. But when I'm watching, like, Cat get all those buckets in the fourth, like, there's a couple, yeah, he was playing off some guys and, like, cutting to the rim. Like, that one dunk he had on Nembhard, it was a cut to the rim. But outside of that, like, he was taking Miles Turner one-on-one. Like, he was coming down in the trail spot and just attacking him. You know what I'm saying? So maybe just not like relying on Brunson, I'd say. Like, it's okay, like, to ISO him out front. Like, that's what OKC does. That, like, they, like, there's mad times in the fourth where Shai is, you know, Shai, where Shai is, like, you know, sending, you know, guys through so you could work right in the middle. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm fine with playing through Brunson, but I definitely agree with you. Like, he got to move that pill and, like, allow guys like Bridges to get a rhythm, you know, feeling the ball, OG, get a rhythm, Cat, you know. And then if you want to sit him for an extended period of time so that defense, like, can get you stops and, like, build a lead, then put McBride in, bro, because he was hooping. He brought us back in that game.
He's been playing good this, like, all playoffs, I feel like.
Yo, who you taking? I was having this debate with my boy Griff.
McConnell or him?
Huh?
McConnell or him?
That's a good one. That's a good question. But McBride or Buddy Hield?
Ooh, that is a good one. Nah.
They play different positions, like, kind of, but
like on the Warriors, I'd rather have Buddy. But on the Knicks, I'd rather have Deuce. So I guess they're in the right spot, but that's a good one too. But real quick, last NBA point, like, yeah. I said this before, but Rick Carlisle, like, he's really improving his stock a lot, because nobody was talking about the Pacers, and people were starting to say that he's a bad coach. And now, like, this playoff run he's having, people are actually starting to watch the Pacers sets and stuff like that. It looks special. But
they moved it up.
Real quick, what you texted me your playoffs predictions, but let's get them on air so we could continue this competition.
OKC in 5. I'm gonna say OKC in 6.
Okay. And then what you got for the Knicks?
Knicks in 7.
All right. I got Pacers in 7, and I got the Thunder in 5. Closeout game back in Oklahoma City. Ant is not the guy. But that's 12 minutes, and we ain't even talk about this episode. So today we got Mac Player of the Year, Amari Monroe. Really, really a good player. Like, definitely going to get drafted. Or I shouldn't say definitely, but if he has a good year, he's probably going to get drafted, bro. Like, really long frame, can score at the rim at an elite level. Is working on some things, which we talked about in the episode. And this was a really good conversation, me and bro. So just talk about this episode and talk about Amari.
Yeah, definitely a great episode. You know, always like to shout out, you know, who got us in contact. So shout out my boy Quinn Guth, you know, walk on at Quinnipiac. That's the boy. But yeah, Amari Monroe, great, great dude. You know what I'm saying? It was great getting to know him throughout the episode. Like, you know, felt like we were just chopping it up the whole time. He's a big Knicks fan, so. You know, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I forgot about that. We was talking about that in the episode. So
that's where I got that. That's where I got this meme from him.
Yeah, you guys posted the same thing on your story.
Yeah, that's how I'm gonna sleep tonight. But great episode. And he's, you know, I texted Quinn like, yeah, he's a great dude. And then Quinn texted me back. He was like, as good as he is as a person, he's an even better player. And that's, you know, or maybe it was opposite. Maybe he was like, as good as he is as a player, he's an even better person. So, you know what I mean? So he's obviously a Hooper, Mac Player of the Year. That's a great conference. A lot of great guards in that conference. DeJour, Bud Clark, Amari Monroe, right? Just to name those three off the top of my head. And, you know, like you said, he's kind of in an era where, you know, maybe a year or two ago, guys were transferring mid-major to D1 or just transfers all over the place. Amari's kind of shining through as like, okay, like, I'm going to stick it out here. I love the community and the connections I made at Quinnipiac. I feel like I can get where I need to. I feel like I can get where I want to be by being here and producing. And he even talked about how he has the other year of eligibility. So, like, even if, you know, he feels like he needs to go back to college for another year after this one, like, he can. And he's going to have, you know, the world is his at that point. You know what I'm saying? Because Mac Player of the Year, he's going to have another great year this year, hopefully. You know, Quinnipiac wins the conference. So that's going to be another, you know, addition to his resume. So definitely a great conversation with bro, and I'm excited for the viewers to get to know him.
Yeah, it's super interesting because I want to say the trailblazer, because I bet there's somebody we don't know of or anything, but one of these guys that are playing like low major basketball and staying, but still like their NBA stock is going to keep growing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting for Amari to kind of like go through that process of, you know, I'm one of the first guys to kind of get drafted from a low major position. And maybe that starts a trend in low major basketball of like, we don't need to go to the highest level. Like, if we're happy where we are right now playing in the MAC or the Big Sky, wherever conference, like, we can still hoop here and then like enjoy all the benefits of playing low major basketball, being the guy. But now, like, I can still get drafted. So not that Amari needs this pressure or like he's going to take it on his back, but it's kind of like he's going to be the one of the trailblazers in this position. But I also like, I feel like Amari's game is good. I'm not trying to violate a great player, but I feel like it's good for him to play in the MAC because he was talking about how like he's going to see a lot of mismatch, like smaller guards going to be guarding him. But if it was, you know, SEC or ACC, whatever, high major conference, it's a 6'9 guard guarding 6'9 guy guarding you instead of, you know, a 6'3 Bud Clark trying to rebound with you down low or something like that. So it's like really good player going to get drafted, but there is a lot of, you know, improvements to his game that if he taps into like getting a better jump shot or that back to the basket post up game, he could be a problem in the league too. It's not just going to be a MAC player of the year type of guy. It could be I'm stepping into the NBA ready to like make a team a championship contender, like if they're a piece away or so. So Amari got a lot of things in his future that I'm excited to see where he takes it.
And he can guard too. And he can guard. Like, you know, his defense is crazy. Like, you brought up a point about his steals. Like, you said he had like, what, seven? It was like nine or between eight. Nine and seven, eight. Okay. Yeah. Eight steals in a game, which is crazy. So, like, that's going to bring him to the next level, too. So, he gets that jump shot, which he said he's working on. You know what I'm saying? And I know, you know, he talks about how hard of a worker he is. And it's clear because, like, we talked about, he started at Wofford, right? Didn't really play that much at Wofford. Averaged, you know, under 5 points a game. And, you know, wasn't really doing well. You know, he talked about his mental health, you know, during the episode and how, like, he was struggling at Wofford. But, you know, when he came back to Quinnipiac, he kind of found his love again for the game and, you know, went from averaging 3.6 points per game to 18 points per game in MAC Player of the Year, which shows a lot of growth as a person, but also a lot of growth as a player. So definitely excited to see what's next for bro. You know, NBA definitely in the cards for him, and I'm excited to see how his journey unfolds.
No, for real. We're going to be – this last thing, we're going to be at the In the Water Classic. For people that don't know, it's a big tournament for 845, like that that whole community they split up by the different cities. We're going to be there, media passes. Who are you taking? Poughkeepsie won it, he mentioned, back-to-back years. Newburgh's in it. Beacon's tough. So who you got?
Man, I got Moneyline Beacon, man. Shout out my Beacon people. You know, I stayed in Beacon before, man. So I got to give the love to them.
You got Beacon. And I'm not going to go with Poughkeepsie. I'm going to go with Newburgh. I got faith in my boy JK and Amari. They got to do something special. Both had really good years in college. But let's cut our talk and let's hear from Amari Monroe. All right, we are here with our boy Amari. How you doing today, fam?
What's up, bro? How you doing?
We're all good, bro. We appreciate you getting on, bro. It's gonna be a good episode. Before we get started, bro. So you from Newburgh, New York, right? And we learned that you a Knicks fan. Knicks up 3-1 right now. How you feeling, my boy?
I've been confident, bro. And now you see all the little fake Knicks fans coming out the blue, like, oh, I told you, like, nah, bro. Y'all wasn't there when we was getting our tails whooped, bro. So now that we have 3-1, like JB said, though, we still got one game. You know, Celtics a good team, but anything Boston related, bro, I don't like, bro. So Knicks, Giants, Yankees, Rangers. Everything else, bro, is quiet. But
I'm a Red Sox fan, bro. So we could definitely keep it contact about that when the Red Sox make some noise in the AL East.
I ain't trying to hear all that. But, you know, I think we get it done tomorrow night. But I would like it for us to lose on purpose. You know what I mean? And then win it at the Garden.
So like, And Ruda, I don't want your opinion, bro, but I'm kind of wondering, you think this is a finals? Like, they could win the finals for real, or I don't know if I'm hearing that. Because if y'all got to see the Oklahoma City Thunder, Mike, it's scary.
I don't even know if they get it done against the Nuggets.
I like that talk, though.
We've been itching to get that Pacers rematch, you know, because we was hurt last year. And I think Pacers pull it out tonight, and then – you know, that'll still be who we play in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm excited for sure.
Now, Ruda and I was talking in an intro about if it gets to Knicks, Pacers, that would be super active of ECF. OG. OG. But now this is going to come out probably what during the finals. So if any of our takes go bad, it's going to look super, super crazy.
You know, I stand on whatever I say. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I respect it. But so we was talking off air a little bit. You was saying how you just get into the gym after finals week, stuff like that. And I'm kind of curious, like, you just had a crazy year. So there's going to be scouts looking at you, probably giving you some report cards on what you got to work on. So I'm just curious, like, talk about if you're in contact with the scouts and then, like, what you're working on this offseason, what's your focus for your game?
Well, like, last year, actually, you know, after my first year at Quinnipiac, there was a couple NBA teams that came through in the summer, you know, just kind of, you know, see the type of player I'll be this upcoming year with, like, our leading scorer leaving. And they gave me a bunch of stuff to work on and, you know, obviously just being more aggressive, you know, showing I can dribble the ball, score off the dribble. And that's kind of what I try to do this past year. And then after this past year, you know, I was actually going to enter like the G League combine or whatever. But after entering the portal and seeing how crazy it got, you know, I decided to just relax a little bit and, you know, take in consideration what everybody was telling me scout wise. The biggest piece was just being more efficient. And being more of like a three level scorer. So, that's mostly what I've been working on. Obviously my shot, cause my numbers from the 3-point line last year weren't what
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Yeah. I shot what 30-something%.
We'll keep it off.
And, it was terrible this year. So I know I'm a way better shooter than that. And so did my coaches. So, you know, that's all we've been working on. And I've actually been working on my mid-post game a lot, you know, back to the basket and facing up a lot because I know I'll get a lot of mismatches, and especially in this conference and even at the next level, being like a big wing, just being able to shoot over smaller guards and, you know, use my strength against smaller guards and smaller wings as well.
Word. I had a quick question real quick. So talking about your shot, like it doesn't look crazy coming out your hands. Do you have like a certain trainer or anything that's working on like the actual,
yes,
like where so it's coming
actually,
off of stuff like
actually
that?
Actually crazy because my shot has changed so much. Like I would watch old film and I'm like, yo, like my shot looks insane. And even from my first year at Quinnipiac, like my shot is different from then to now. And we have like a bunch of guys come through and work with me specifically on my jump shot. Cause sometimes I shoot from, you know, below my waist and they tell me to keep it up or, you know, flex my wrist and stuff like that. So this is the time where, you know, I work on stuff like that because I couldn't really change it in the season. But the more I rep it out, you know, like so next year, my shot will probably look completely different from this past year. Just because I'm trying to rep it out and get used to it. So I would have to change it during the season. I'm not sure his name, actually, but I got a DM from a shooting coach and he works with a lot of guys. I want to say like his name is George or something like that. But even he tried to reach out and just seeing that like it's, the mechanics of shooting is crazy. And, you know, something like a small tweak could change your whole shot. And, you know, I'm willing to, you know, change it to become a better shooter. So anything I need to do, that's what I've been working on so far.
Bro, it's kind of funny. Like when you watch like an NBA player that's first drafted, right, first round, and then you follow their career over however many years and you look at the end of their career, their shot is completely different, right? Like elbows in, they're extending all the way through. And that's just, like you said, countless hours of just reps. So.
Yeah, bro, that's like what I was going to say is that's just the art of basketball, bro. Like there's not one specific way to be great at shooting. So like initially when you were saying year to year, you're like changing your shot. I was like, like it's probably better just to get used to one. But exactly. Like a lot of shooters, like Ruda just said, like they changed their jump shot over the years and just see what's working, what's not working. There's no perfect way to shoot.
That's how I used to look at it. You know, I used to like get upset when everyone try to change my shot, because I'm like, all right, like, this guy just tried to change my shot, and now you're trying to change this. Like, now I just feel like my shot's getting messed up. But then, like, I look at guys like Tyrese Halliburton, like, his form isn't the best, but, you know, it goes in, you know, and you see Steph Curry with the perfect form, and obviously his goes in, but, like, everybody's shot isn't going to look the same, you know, but there's just small things you can change to, you know, become more a consistent shooter.
All right. So are you watching? You talked about how you're trying to add, like, the mid-post game to your bag right now. And obviously it's NBA playoffs, so you're going to see a lot of players pull out their best moves. Are there any players that you're actively watching? Like, okay.
First round, obviously, I hate it. Like, my coaches didn't even want to send it to me, obviously, because it was Paolo. So I'm watching him a lot. And because he posts, he's a big guard.
His mid-post is great.
Exactly. Yeah. It's insane. So he gets to it. And then even like Cade, you know, my coaches didn't want to send me the Cade film because they were playing the Knicks. I was watching it, and like, he was like cooking our smaller guards in the mid-post, you know, just using his body to get to a shot. And then this is going to be the worst one. Jason Tatum does it pretty good a lot.
Bro, I don't know why he doesn't use it more.
Exactly. You know, it would abuse our smaller guard, you know, they could abuse JB. But like, those are three of the most I watch, just because they're bigger guards, you know, and they use their strength, and you know, we're around the same size. So I study a lot of their film, and keep repping the same thing every workout. You know, I have a specific part of my workout where it's, all right, you're going to work on this every day, you know, just to get used to it. Cause obviously right now I'm not used to it. You know, it's not something I never really done before. So the more I get used to it, the more I can get better at it.
Word. I want to skip ahead a little bit. I was looking at your gram, like, when we got in contact with you, and obviously it was really popular, like, your transfer portal experience. So before we talk about, like, why you ended up coming back to Quinnipiac, I just want to hear, like, the schools you visited, the coaches you were talking to, because on the top schools, it was Rutgers, UConn, Miami, Ole Miss, Pitt, and Kansas. So all historic schools, historic coaches. Just talk about, like, your recruitment process this offseason.
So I had a lot of connects with guys at certain schools, you know, whether it's alum from schools I used to go to or teams I used to play for. So I went into the portal kind of expecting to hear from a lot of certain schools. But then there's also a lot where I didn't expect Kansas or like Ole Miss and stuff like that. But once I got the call, I was like, okay, like, this is what you kind of dreamed for. Like, this is reality now. You know, you're trained for this. You know how to speak to coaches, and, you know, now you know what to expect. So I think my very first call was like Ohio State or something like that. And I'm like, well, even this is crazy. You know, like, I never expected to get a call from Ohio State. But like, in high school, I was highly recruited too, you know, because playing with City Rocks. But I never really got an offer from a high major school. But like, once I had an offer from like all these other schools, you know, the money started coming, and I'm like, wow, Champs has really changed. Like, it's completely different from high school. I said in like another podcast how I didn't really have a lot of genuine connections with a lot of schools because it was always just about money, you know, like,
that's the first thing you get in the room. They like, yo, we could give you this.
Yeah. And I'm like, dang, like, you didn't even tell me if I'm going to play or not. So, you know, I went into it like, all right, you got 1 year left, you know, and got to go somewhere you're going to play and get you to that next level. So when they just started talking about money, I'm like, am I going to play for you or not? Like, am I going to have that opportunity to, you know, work for minutes? Because obviously I'm not going into the portal like, all right, like, I want to go somewhere where they're going to play me. Like, I got to Quinnipiac by earning my minutes. You know, I came to Quinnipiac and I've been expecting to play. You know, I earned that. So I was willing to work as hard as I could, you know, to just get on the court and impact winning. And obviously to play in March Madness, because that's everybody's dream, you know, growing up. But like I said, once I got in the portal, I was kind of like, all right, this is reality. You know, now you know what to expect. Is this really what you want? You know, do you want to make six figures but not play? And I was like, no. I seen a lot of schools reaching out to a ton of guys. And the one school who – one of the only schools who wasn't was Rutgers. And, you know, they sold their freaking old program to me. And I'm like, wow, this sounds amazing. But then I got my year back, and I'm like, all right, now I got to look at the pros and the cons. And once it was all said and done, I was kind of just like, you know, go back to Quinnipiac and, you know, have another great year, an even better year, you know, in the next year, you know, have you to have that degree, you know, graduate, and now you go make some money. Now you go play at that level that you always grew up wanting to play at.
Bro, I love that answer. I'm not going to lie. And there's a couple of different things that I wanted to touch on, like what you just said. The first thing is like the relationships aspect of it, right? Because you're talking about how like these coaches, it's kind of like superficial, right? They're just throwing a number at you and not really trying to get to know Amari Monroe. You feel exactly. me? Like, where at Quinnipiac, you've been there for, what, 3 years now, right?
It's my third year coming up.
So coming up on your third year, and you built, like, meaningful connections, like with my boy Quinn or with the coaching staff, whatever it may be, so it influences you to stay there. I fuck with that big time, bro.
100%. Like, I obviously, you know, you can't build a lifelong relationship in a couple days while being in the portal. But, like, you know, they could have made it feel more genuine, you know, and – you know, at least made me feel like, you know, you want to get to know me as a person and not just, you know, as a number, you know, not just as an object by putting a price tag on my head, you know.
Mm-hmm. And to add on to that, bro, like your journey, like you, if I'm not mistaken, you transferred from Wofford to
Quinnipiac,
right? And then at Wofford, like you were averaging like, you know, low single digit points, now to 18 points per game. So you're showing like, I'm gonna work for this, you know what I'm saying? I wanna work for my opportunity. I wanna work for the, like, I love the grind, you know what I mean? So definitely respect that.
I always look back at my freshman year and, you know, I know what I went through, you know, I know how I was feeling. And I was just like, I would never let myself get that low again. So every decision I make now is for myself, not for anyone else.
Mm. Love that, bro. And I wanna ask you, in an era where the transfer portal has become so popular, you're staying at Quinnipiac and really being the face of a mid-major program. Does that, for you, like, do you take pride in that? Like, just talk about that.
100%. I mean, even last year, you know, being one of the better guys on the team, it didn't really feel like my team, you know, because I still had vets who were there before me, like Savion and Paul and Lex. And, yeah, I was a captain, but, you know, they were also captains. Like, it was our team. Like, but now that I'm the only one left. Everyone's gone. Like, I've been in this program the longest now, you know, and the second guy is the one who's been there the second longest is a walk-on. You know, he got there same year I got there. So this is kind of like a brand new team. And now it's really Amari's team. It's Amari and the Bobcats, you know, because I've been here the longest. Just got player of the year. You know, I'm a vet now, you know. Got guys calling me Unk. yeah, I definitely take pride in it, you know, and another reason I stayed is because being that, like, this is my team now, it helps me be a better leader. You know, if things go wrong, you know, obviously it's going to fall on me. So I just got to learn to cope with it, you know, and be able to grow from it and fix things. And we had times this past off season where, like, our lifts weren't the best. And it was very uncomfortable, but, like, you know, I yelled at guys. And, you know, that's not me. Like, I haven't been captain and my whole college career. So, you know, it felt weird doing it, you know, but afterwards I'm like, you know, I didn't come back to lose, you know, I want to win. So I'm going to have to do these uncomfortable things. I'm going to put myself in uncomfortable situations, you know, to get the best out of guys and myself too. So,
I mean, yeah, it's only going to help you in the long run, bro, especially talking about, you know, being a leader. So inspirational stuff. And I wanted to ask you, like, obviously, like, you have these schools, you know, throwing a number out at you, but like you're saying, you're focused on going playing professional. So how did you develop this mindset? Because like I said, a lot of people really don't have this mindset like you, where they're thinking about the long-term benefits, right? Of playing the NBA or playing the G League, getting that bag. So where did you develop this mindset and who's kind of been helping you along with this process as well?
Well, definitely my parents, you know, and I have a couple, you know, coaches that I used to play for who I'm not going to like say who, but they weren't for me staying at Quinnipiac, you know, mm-hmm. and they were like, you kind of did everything you could there, you know, why are you staying? But then I also have some coaches who just wanted the best for me. So they were happy that I stayed because I made a decision for myself. I honestly like never expected me to be this good because I played football in high school too. So I didn't even know what sport I was going to play in college, you know, up until my senior year. So, yeah. I was kind of like skinny, you know, and I was just much better than everybody else in my area. So, you know, I always felt like the guy. And then I got brought back down to reality when I got to Wofford, you know, because I wasn't scoring as much as I used to. I wasn't getting as much shots as I usually do. You know, I wasn't playing as much as I do. So I'm like, all right, maybe you're not that good. And then I got to Quinnipiac, and it was just completely different. Like, I fell in love with the game again. And even my sophomore year, I was kind of like, wow, I got second team all conference, but like, I feel like I played terrible. And even this past year, after looking at my numbers, I'm like, player of the year, and I still feel like I played terrible. So I'm
another level about to go up.
Yeah, I'm setting my bar so high because I know the work I put in. I know how good I can be. Like, I didn't make shots, you know, and I averaged almost 20 points. So what if my shot was going? You know what I mean? Like, to relate it to the Knicks and Boston series, like, they didn't make shots the first two games, you know, and we came back and won. And you see what happened when they did make shots. We got beat by almost 30 points. So that's how I look at it. You know, like, I trust my work, you know, and there's a lot of people that talk, you know, telling me, yo, you're not that good, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, you know, the work shows, you know, I got player of the year, you know, and I'm the third player in Quinnipiac history to get that award. So, or fourth player, I'm sorry. And, you know, I'm going to put in the work to be the first to ever do it back to back, you know, and break records at Quinnipiac and then really solidify myself as a legend at Quinnipiac, you know, and then people hear Quinnipiac and think of Amari. You know, that was my whole point of, you know, going back to that school. Cause as a kid, I just wanted to, you know, be popular. You know, everybody wants to be popular. And, you know, being at Quinnipiac, you know, the students, the staff, you know, you name them, anybody, you know, they make me feel welcome there. And, you know, they let me know how good I am. Like, I never thought I'd be this close to playing at the highest level of basketball until now, you know, and, you know, doing all these podcasts and interviews and, you know, having to, you know, carry myself a different way because of who I am now is kind of just a blessing, you know, and I'm going to work hard every day until I achieve those goals for sure.
Bro, I seen a couple of pictures of you and like you're celebrating with the crowd. You were like dapping people up, giving people hugs and stuff. I was like, nah, that's
our cool. Student, our fans, man, like our games have been pretty packed this past year, you know, and it's very rare for Quinnipiac basketball, but you know, they let we go out sometimes and you know, it's always like, yo, bro, like you guys are you're the GOAT, Amari, like Quinnipiac basketball. And I'm like, yo, like you guys are insane. Like, I love it. I'm not super like cocky or, you know, I'm not one of those bougie basketball players who don't follow people back. Like if you're a fan and I see you at the games, you know, you DM me, I'm going to DM you back. I'm going to follow you back. I'm going to interact with you when I see you. I'm not going to act all popular and, you know, stuff like that. Cause that's not who I am. You know, you support me, then I'm going to support you type situation. So I really appreciate all the love I get for sure.
Shit, man. I mean, Quinnipiac definitely supporting you, bro. Like, 100%. You know what I mean? Like you kind of talked about it. Like they're kind of giving you this confidence. Like, nah, like I don't know who was telling you like, oh, you're not good enough or you can't play at these levels, but they're bugging because Mac player of the year, Mac is a great conference, bro. It has a lot of great players and you got player of the year and you're killing at Quinnipiac. So F all those other coaches, whoever else is talking, bro. Exactly.
Nah, no cap. But yo, I want to rewind a little bit. Obviously, like you going crazy right now, but people don't know that started at Newburgh days.
Yeah.
Newburgh really tough too. Like a lot of talent. I played AU with JK and my son George. I think that's your man's too, right?
He's actually in there right now, George.
Yeah, so I played AU with them just for a little bit, but like you could tell Newburgh really producing a lot of good hoopers. So one, I want you to just talk about like the culture in Newburgh growing up, playing there, but also like what went into the decision? Because you ended up going to South Kent. I think It was before your senior year, right?
It actually was like, because you know the whole COVID situation. So it kind of like switched everything around. And then I had a crazy big injury to where I had to do like a postgraduate year, which made me go to South Kent.
Okay, word. Just talk about growing up in Newburgh.
So like Newburgh, I mean, obviously people hear Newburgh and it's one or two things. It's either what the hell is that? Or it's all bad, you know, and there's no in between. There's so much talent in Newburgh and it doesn't get enough recognition. Like, you know, George and JK, and then we got a guy playing Division I football right now, DeAndre Johnson. He was at Rutgers and he just transferred to Jacksonville. But there's so much talent, you know, and you don't have to play at the Division I level. But that it goes so unnoticed because of all the bad that happens in Newburgh. And, you know, I came from a good household. You know, I never had to live in the hard parts of Newburgh. You know, I lived in, I guess you want to say the suburbs, I guess, but I was never really around violence, you know, and I went to school 20, 30 minutes away from my house growing up, kindergarten to eighth grade. And it kind of just kept me away from, you know, all the bad. You know, I got obviously family members who, you know, who've gotten to some stuff. But I kind of used sports as a getaway and played football and basketball. And I kind of just was my getaway. And I got lucky to where I was able to play Division I for either sport. And I'm going to be 1,000% honest, you know, I wasn't the hardest worker. I was just so talented. And that's what got me, you know, I guess those offers. But once I got the offers, I was like, all right, high school is completely different from college. So now you got to actually start to work. And that's when I started to work, specifically in basketball. And thank God for COVID, because that's when I got, you know, I gained a little muscle, a little weight. And that kind of just set me apart from everybody else. And I always try to be like a role model for people coming from Newburgh, because I'm like, if I can do it, you can definitely do it. Like, you know, you don't have to choose the streets. You know, you don't have to choose violence or anything. You know, just put your mind to something and exceed at it. And, you know, I rarely come home, you know, for reasons, because I know there's guys out here who hate to see me succeed. You know, I don't want to get caught up in the wrong stuff. So I rarely come home. And if I do, I'm in the house or hanging out with my friends. You know, I don't go out to parties. I don't do any of that stuff, because I don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So if I do come home, it's just for something like in the Water Classic, or, you know, where everybody's just coming together, you know, whether it's different cities or, you know, the same city, we're all coming together, because sports is something that brings everybody together, you know. And, you know, Newburgh and Poughkeepsie always used to bump heads, you know, when I was growing up, but now we come together all because of a ball, you know, whether it's football or basketball. But there's just so many people who want to see you succeed. So, but Newburgh is definitely, you know, it's home to me, and I will never not, you know, Jack, and I'm from Newburgh. You know, I got it tattooed on me, so, you know, it's permanent now. I'm proud to say I'm from Newburgh. So, but it's definitely, you know, a lot of talent here, and I think it needs more light.
No, facts. Newburgh definitely, like I said, is producing a lot of good talent. And that's great sentiment you just said. Like, sports is a great common place for that. Like, no matter if you from different hoods, y'all got beef or whatever, like, you could always gel over sports or go to a sports game and just enjoy yourself. But yeah, you mentioned the In the Water Classic. This is the last thing we'll talk about before we take a quick break. But what's the mindset for this year? Y'all going to take it? Talk to me about, like, just the energy playing in that tournament.
Well, Poughkeepsie took it the first 2 years, you know. Our first year, we lost the first round to Poughkeepsie, actually. And then the second year, we straight up dominated Beegan. And we even dominated the Poughkeepsie game. But Trey, man, Trey and JaVel, they went to work, you know, and Trey ended up taking MVP. But, you know, it's a great competition. You know, it's we talk them. You would think the way you watch us play, you would think we hate each other, you know, when we talk on the court. But
they get like that.
Yeah, it really do. But we're all brothers, bro, you know, and it's all just competition. You know, it's all just putting on a show for the crowd. But I'm 100% coming for it this year. There's no doubt about it.
Dude, I love seeing the clips from the In the Water Classic, bro. Like, the crowd going crazy. It's crazy. And just like you said, like, the community that the 845, like, basketball scene has is dope. It's dope to see. I think it's similar to I'm not too familiar with, like Albany 518, the community out there, but I know a lot, like I said, I know a lot of people in 845, and it just seems like all you guys really support each other, bro. And yeah, like, it get like that when it's on the court, but y'all show love at the end of the day. I mess with that.
For sure.
Yo, it's Elijah Hughes that run it, right?
Yeah.
Yo, so Elijah, if you watch him, bro, we need an Albany team in this year's In the Water Classic, bro. Like, that'll really get it lit too. Like, right, a lot of more eyes. Yeah. All the top cities in New York deserve a team in that shit, but that's just my thoughts. I'm nobody to Elijah, but just putting my thoughts out there. But stay with us while we take a quick break. All right, we are back with Amari Monroe on the Not Even D2 pod. So earlier, you mentioned how, like, you got really low after your Wofford year. Like, you never wanted to get back to that spot. And I heard you say in an interview, like, you quit basketball and Quinnipiac found you. Like, basically everybody forgot about Amari. You didn't want to play no more. So I want you to just talk about that time period, quitting basketball, how QU found you, but also, like, how you were able to just, like, you know, get out that dark spot. And now you, like you said, like, you player of the year, about to play professionally.
It's actually crazy, you know, looking back at it, you know, and after getting player of the year and then seeing literally 2 years ago you quit. But that's definitely the lowest I've ever been in my life, you know, and it had a lot to do with being far from home, you know, and it's weird because that wasn't my first time living far from home, but it was my first time living far from home and not playing basketball, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, after having, like, a year where you're the guy on the team and, you know, you're so much better than everybody and, you know, you're scoring a lot of points, taking a lot of shots, playing damn near the whole game, and then going to college and, you know, kind of just being a screen and roll, rebound, pass the ball type guy, you know, it messes with you a lot. And, you know, when you go on a visit, I went on a visit in the summer and the coach was kind of like a completely different person, you know, and that messed with me a lot too. He ended up getting fired actually midseason, and I'm thinking it's going to get a lot better, and it didn't. It got worse. I actually caught COVID over Christmas break, and I missed like 3-4 games, and I was starting before that. And when I went back to school, just wasn't starting anymore. I wasn't playing as much, and I was kind of just asking, like, you know, what can I do to play? And then, you know, they would tell me something, and then I would do it, and I still wouldn't play as much. So I kind of just emotionally checked out, and I was in a relationship at the time doing long distance.
That's a lot.
Terrible, bro. I would never do it again. Especially like it was a long relationship. So, you know, it was like we started dating, like we were dating for a minute. It just messed with me. It was so many things, like just bottled in, you know. And I think just the worst part of it was because I just wanted to play basketball, you know. And when you're telling me to do something and I do it and you still don't play me, I was just like checked out, you know. I texted my mom after one game and I was like, yo, I'm quitting. Can't do it. I broke down on a bust. And she was like, just give him one more game. And that one more game ended up being my best game I had. But it was my last game, you know, and I ended up quitting like beginning of February, maybe end of January. I think it was the end of January. I just straight up quit. I didn't even do the second semester of school. I started going to therapy. Ended up leaving school. It's supposed to be for 2 weeks. But I just never went back. You know, I packed all my stuff, left. I kind of left the school kind of knowing I wasn't going back, you know, but I left it open just in case I did. But I did leave a lot of stuff there. But, yeah, I left and kind of never went back. And honestly, I quit. I just quit. I wasn't even working out. You know, I was just lifting. That's all I was doing. And that me lifting was kind of just like me trying to keep myself sane mentally. So that's when I put on a ton of muscle, you know. I got super big, and I'd even enter the portal right away, you know, because I didn't even want to play. I actually was gonna go back to football, which is crazy. But after talking to some people I knew, I gave it one more shot, and I kind of waited actually the whole time the portal was open. I took a visit to Northern Illinois, and great program, great coaching staff, but again, it was too far from home. You know, I couldn't do it after what I just went through. So I ended up waiting. It was like the last week, I think the portal was open. Richmond, Buffalo, and Quinnipiac all reached out to me like the same day or two. And I was supposed to take a visit to Richmond, do a Zoom call with Richmond. And then I had a Zoom call with Buffalo. And then Quinnipiac was the last of the three to reach out. And I had a Quinnipiac offer in high school, but I wasn't really close with the head coach like that. I didn't really like him that much. So I just kind of just swept it under the rug. So I was familiar with Quinnipiac. Then we had Tyrese Williams, who's a Beacon kid who went to Quinnipiac. So obviously I was familiar with him. And then like I kind of knew Savion. So then I obviously went on a visit to Quinnipiac and wasted no time, committed on the visit. It was a one-day visit, too. Like, it was during the day. Just showed me around the school. Didn't take any pictures. I didn't even see the weight room, any of that. I just, I'm coming here. You know, it's close to home. You know, you guys made me feel like it was a genuine conversation. It was kind of like a no-brainer. And I really felt like that was a sign, you know, from God to, like, yo, this is where you can restart, you know, find yourself again. And I honestly came here, like, I didn't even come to the first session, actually. That's how late I committed. I didn't even come to the first session. I came to the second summer session, and I was scared, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I was scared. Didn't know what to expect. But I just worked. You know, I kept working and working and working, and then ended up getting a starting spot, which something I definitely didn't expect to happen. You know, I didn't even know if I was going to play or not. Ended up getting a starting spot, and it kind of just took off from there.
It's kind of crazy, bro, like hearing your story. So you said you went to Wofford, and I know someone that may or may not have been at Wofford at the same time as you, Josh Morissette. Was he there? Yeah. So was he there with you at Wofford?
Yeah, we got there the same year.
Okay, so it's funny, like, so he's at St. Anselm right now, right? He's thriving. You're at Quinnipiac, you're thriving. And then they had another guard that went to Iowa State maybe, and then to a different
school. Jackson Pavleski.
So you got three of you guys that left Wofford and now thriving in a whole completely different environment. That speaks volumes, I think, bro.
Crazy, because, like, me and Josh were really close, you know, because we were both going through the same thing. He wasn't playing as much. I wasn't playing as much. And there's another kid, Chase, who wasn't playing as much. So we were really close. And then Jackson actually had the best out of all of us because he was playing a lot and everything was kind of ran through him and our big BJ. And honestly, like, we were all close, you know, because we all really didn't have that type of relationship with the coaches. But Jackson and I, like I said, had it the best and he thrived, you know, and that's what led him going to Iowa State. And it's crazy because actually I entered the portal and I loved Wofford so much, like the school, that I kind of like cut every school I reached out to that got reached out to me in the portal and was like, yo, I low-key want to go back to Wofford. It sounds crazy, bro. But that's how much I liked it down there. But, you know, luckily that didn't go through. But like now we got two guys just committed to the MAC from Wofford. We got one of my guys, Anthony, he's going to Mount St. Mary. And then we got another guy, Chase, that's going to Iona. Obviously, I'll never knock a school, but like, you know, I love that for him because now Anthony low-key went through what I went through and he averaged 30 in high school, you know, and got to Wofford and really didn't play as much. So I love that for him because he's going to go off as you see it. And then you got Chase. I think I didn't really know him because he got there the year after I did, but you know, now he's at Iona, you know, I'm going to play both of those guys and I know he's really good. So it makes me smile, you know, seeing guys, you know, just leave and, you know, thrive like Josh. You know, me and Josh still talk to this day. I still talk to all those guys. You know, it was never about them. You know, they weren't the reason I left, so I still talk to all of them.
A lot of people have been very critical about the transfer portal, but this is why I continue to say, like, it's almost needed. It'd be horrible if you just – I don't know if you was depressed, but it sounds like those feelings of depression, like, you just got to live with that the whole 4 years of college. Exactly. The transfer portal allowing you to – like we're just saying, you're thriving now, like, about to make opportunities for yourself for the long term. So the transfer portal definitely – was needed in college sports.
Like, I didn't even really know how the transfer portal worked. Like, I was Googling, like, how do I enter the transfer portal? And what's going to happen? Am I going to have to sit? I didn't even know how it worked, but I was just like, I know I can't stay here anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, am I going to lose eligibility if I, like, leave midseason? That's how bad it was. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. It all worked out for me. So, you know, I never knock what happened my first year. You know, I actually take pride in what happened in my first year, you know, because it all led me to where I am today.
I love you saying that too. You take pride in it because you're talking about, like, yo, I went through a tough time. Like, I had to go through therapy. And the fact that you're able, like, to express that, bro, is like, you know, a lot of athletes now are coming out and being like, hey, this is stuff that I deal with, right? And, you know, it takes a lot of power to do that. And it's, like you said, it's obviously, it's all in God's plan because, you know, look where you are now. You're killing it, bro. I wanted to ask you about, like, really what you put into your game, because 3.6 points per game to 18 points per game is, like, completely different player, completely different. 100%. So, what specifically did you, like, work on? I know you said you worked harder, but, like, were there any specific drills or, you know, lifting, whatever it may be? Just talk to us about that process.
Well, definitely lifting. You know, I fell in love with the weight room after, like, COVID. So that's where I kind of separated myself from – you know, a lot of guys, because they would tell me they hate lifting, and I'm like, what? Like, I think I like lifting more than basketball.
No cap.
For me, so, like, I kind of fell in love with that. And then, like, my first year getting to Wofford, I was even, like, just, like, a backdoor type guy. Like, I was cutting the back door a lot. I was getting steals, you know. I broke the steals record my first year there. And then I just previously broke my record, like, this past year. So that's what really got me on the court, just my defense, you know. And once I let my defensive instincts take over, that's where my offense came in. You know, I was getting a lot of points from steals, or I was actually shooting the ball better my first year here just because I had my confidence level. But I think my numbers were so low this year just because I had to take on a different role. You know, I had to be more of like a score first type guy. And, you know, I wasn't used to it, being that I haven't done it in so long. So, but I really see my numbers taking a huge leap this next year, because now I'm used to it. You know, I just did it this previous year. Now, you know, I know what to expect. I know that the scout was mainly for me, so I know how to adjust to it, you know, and my work is going to show. You know, I'm going to show everything that I worked on this offseason and look like a completely different person.
Word. Yo, real quick, I was watching some of, like, a full game film of Quinnipiac, and I was like, one of my takeaways is like, yo, Amari could really guard. And I was looking through your stats, and, bro, you had 8 steals one day for one game. So I'm just kind of curious, like, what you looking for on the defensive end? Like, is it in the passing lane something you looking at on ball? What's your philosophy? So talk to me about that.
I actually get I get high praise for my off-ball instincts. I think my off-ball is better than my own ball, and I get high praise for my own ball as well. But I kind of just, like, feel like I don't even, like, notice it at times, but people will say, like, it's insane the way I read it, but like, I think I just notice it before it happens. Like, I just read I don't even know what I read. I think I just get the, like, all right, he's about to pass here, and I just go.
You just gifted too. Like, your athleticism is
appreciate that. And that's what I really get a lot, like, physically gifted, but especially on the defensive side. And, you know, I'm especially at my size, you know, I mean, you know, not a lot of guys can guard at my size, but I take pride in it, 'cause you know, it hires my chance of playing at the next level. That's what kind of differentiates me from everybody else. But yeah, that one game was, I didn't even know I had 8, you know, and I was one away from the program record. But, I kind of just anticipate where they're going to go. You know, I don't play the first move. I kind of play the second move, like the counter move, and it works. You know, I'm giving away my sauce, but I gave away my sauce last year, and it still works. So, I mean, guys got to, I guess, work against it, but you know, I'm ready for it. I mean, I'm that much confident in myself now that I can tell you what I'm working on. I can tell you what I'm about to do, and I'm still going to do it. Type thing.
Yeah, talk that talk, bro. Yo, we don't have anything like specifically written, so I don't know if Rudy was about to mention this, but like the MAC this year was competitive as hell. Like, a lot of really good teams. We was talking to DeJour on a previous episode, and we was like, yo, who you like playing against in the MAC? He was like, Monroe.
So, yeah, that's my guy, bro.
Just talk about like playing the MAC, some of your favorite matchups going up against that level of competition.
Definitely Iona was, you know, one of my favorite matchups, because it was never an easy night. You know, I think our two matchups, I think the first matchup we were down – almost 20, I want to say, and then we came back and won by 1. You know, they missed the game winner. And then the second matchup, we won by like 4 or something like that. So it's always a close matchup, you know, and they got some guys over there, and they actually showed. I mean, obviously they beat us in semifinal. But what I loved about them is every single guy on that team played their role. They didn't have a single guy who played outside of their role. Everybody knew what their role was, and they all exceeded at it, and that's why they ended up beating us. DeJour went to work.
Basket.
Yeah, he went to work every single time we played him, and then Adam, he went to work in that semifinal game. You know, he just wouldn't miss, and it pulled the best out of our guys. You know, I mean, I think we needed that loss, because you know, we were on our high horses. Like, you know, we're much talented than most
teams. Seed.
Exactly, one seed. You know, and that's what happened the previous year. You know, we were the one seed, regular season champs, back to back. So. We also had a young team this year. We had some young guys who played a lot of minutes, so they didn't really know how we felt when we lost our first year. But I think we needed it, you know, and being that we got a lot of our guys coming back, they know the feeling now. You know, they know how it feels to, you know, lose the second round, you know, when you're this close, you know, you're projected to beat everybody else, you know, and you don't get the job done. You know, I think it's going to stick with our guys for a while, you know, until we get that next opportunity. But, you know, I kind of wish a lot of these other guys stayed as well, because, you know, the competition was insane. You know, we never had an easy night. You know, we would beat a team by 20 one night and then lose to them the next. So, you know, the MAC was very unpredictable. And as it shows, the Mount won the whole thing. You know, they finished fifth in the conference. So, you know, you never know who's going to win on any given night, you know. So, definitely fun. I don't think the Mac gets a lot of love, but, you know, it, the past 2 years has shown that anybody could win it, you know, and there's never an easy night. And if you like basketball, I think the Mac is a conference you should definitely watch.
That's the takeaway right there, because you got you guys, you got Marist, you got Iona, right? Like all three, like Mount St. Mary's, like we talked about, right? Manhattan, like, right, maybe not the best record for them, but you know, good program. So
very solid. I mean, we went down 22 points at Manhattan, mm-hmm. and stormed back and won. I mean, that was kind of just our team last year. You know, we always play from behind. Even when we played Iona in the second round, we went down 15, 16 points, stormed back, tied it, but they kind of just pulled away. But, like, you know, you can never predict a win in the MAC. You know, we were up, like, 40-8 against Siena at our place. And then we went to Siena and lost. You know, Siena was a good team. And then I want to give them props for bringing all their guys back this year. They're going to be really good as well.
Not my boy Major, though.
Major. Yeah, he did that. He was solid too. I mean, I didn't know he was like watching him on film. He looks taller than he is, but he's a little shifty. You know, he get to it. But like, they got a great core guys, and then they just brought in one of my old teammates, Riley Mulvey from Iowa. They got a good big now, and then even Sacred Heart bringing back damn near the whole team. So it's no easier than it was last year. You know, if anything, it's tougher. Being that we lost a lot of our guys, you know, got to re-recruit. But I'm very confident that, you know, we can make a run again, you know, and actually get the job done this time.
I got two questions for you, bro. First thing, that's a little bit of a basketball question for you. What goes into it? Because we're Knicks fans, right? So, you know, come back down 20 a couple times during this playoffs. What do you think goes into a comeback? Like, mindset? Like, I want to hear about this basketball. Let's have some basketball talk real quick.
Yeah, so for sure. I think it starts with, you know, a lot of our guys being, like, young-minded and thinking, so we're just talented, so we're going to beat everybody. So then we don't play as hard. You know, we don't study the film. We don't follow the scout. You know, we don't take away guys' abilities like we're told to. So that's what starts us by going down. You know, that's what makes us go down. And then now we got a fire lit under our ass. You know, now we don't want to get embarrassed. You feel me? So you're supposed to beat a team, but you're down 20. Now you got to actually start hooping. So I think that is what kind of like sparks a fire under our ass. And then also like our coach, you know, getting like yelling at us like, yo, hell yeah, doing. Yeah. So one thing I like about our team, like we were kind of player led, you know, as the year went on, we kind of like, all right, we got vets, like we know what to do. So we would have our own huddle. And like no coaches, it's all players. And like, yo, let's lock in, bro. Like, what are we doing? And then that's when we would start hooping. We would just string stops together. Cause our offense was never a problem. Was more of our defense. So if we get stops, we're going to score. And that's how we always came back from, you know, down 20. I think our worst loss was probably St. John's. You know, we were up at halftime. So, and that was like, I think we lost by exactly 20, I want to say. But that was probably our worst loss. And we had a very talented team. And, you know, if we all played at our highest level, we definitely would have got the job done.
Word. I was saying this earlier, Ruta, but like, coming back in basketball is also just getting easier with, like, how the pace is, the amount of three-pointers that's going up. So, like, you could go down 20, and then as soon as that fire gets lit under your ass, you hit four threes in a row. It's like, all right, we'll be right back in it.
Really different game, exactly.
And also, like, the coaches kind of, like allow the players to have a little bit more freedom when you're down 20. It's like, yeah, go full court press, go trap more. And exactly. Then, like, fire up. Team on the flip side, teams are also like they're up 20. They're taking their foot off the gas a little bit. So
and we definitely had a lot of games where we were up 20. You know, we let teams come back, and it's because it's kind of just like, all right, like, do we take the same shots we took to get up 20, or do we slow it down?
Slow it down
a little bit. So it kind of just makes you more timid, and then you're not taking as many shots, or you know, you're scared to dribble the ball or something, and you don't know what's a good shot and a bad shot. So it's kind of just you're more timid. So it's hard being up 20, you know, especially so early in the game. It's easier being up 20 later in the game because, you know, you can milk the clock, but, like, you can't milk the clock the entire game. So, but, yeah, I mean, it worked out for us in some extent. I mean, especially being down 20, you know, we were always able to come back. But being up 20 is definitely tough.
Word, bro. It's like I said, you know, we watched it a couple of times with the Knicks in the playoffs this year. So
exactly.
But yo, I had a question like outside of hoops, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you mentioned in the interview, like you said, Quinnipiac gave you a home when everyone forgot about you, right? So at the end of the day, what is Quinnipiac to school, the people you met? Like, what does Quinnipiac really mean to you?
It means everything. Like I said, it gave me a home when, you know, people kind of forgot who I was. So like Wofford, I loved it there. You know, I met a lot of families. I thought that was going to be home, you know, but it just didn't work out. And I just needed to find my second home from home. Like Newburgh is my home, but I just needed to have that home away from home type thing. And that's exactly what Quinnipiac is. You know, the coaches trusted me, you know, they let me grow, you know, and then again, I met a ton of families where, you know, their kids are crying at my games or, you know, they just love to see me play every night. And that means a lot, you know, because to me, I'm just a basketball player. To them, I'm like a superhero. And just seeing that joy in their eyes, you know, it makes me smile. You know, they don't even know how much they make me happy. And I kind of just couldn't leave that, you know, giving them out shoes, arm sleeves. Some kid asked for socks that I just wore. I'm like, yo, it's crazy, you know. It made me feel like you can't beat that. You know, I just turned 22. As a 22-year-old, you know, you could be doing anything else in life, but I'm here making kids smile by playing basketball. And even just like my fellow classmates, you know, just showing up to games and them just supporting us throughout the whole process and driving down to our conference tournament, you know, staying in hotels to watch us play. Like, that means a lot. And, you know, yeah, I'll get that at the next level, but so will a lot of other guys. Like, here, this is like my team. This is me. Like, teams come to watch me play. I mean, sorry, schools come to watch me play. And it's just fun, you know. I'm having fun with it. Super fun, you know. I love it, and you can't beat that.
Yo, that's mad smooth, bro. I'm happy for you, bro, to be honest. And like, you're just a genuine guy. You could tell. Like, if you ask a lot of top Division I players, they're gonna say like, why they love college basketball right now is I'm getting paid a lot. Yeah, exactly. That's not even going into your answer. Like, you just focused on making somebody else's day better. So I got a lot of respect for that. But you mentioned Riley, and he's from like the area I'm from. So I'm just, you met him through City Rocks, right?
Yeah, we were teammates. Yeah.
Where I used to follow your City Rocks team from afar, but also I'm just kind of curious like about this time, because AAU is special. Like, you're not spending that much time with them, but you always, like, the connection is just, like, instant. And your team, like, you had J.J. Starlin, like, a lot of good players. So talk about that team and, like, the relationships you built playing City Rocks.
It's kind of, like, it was low-key different for me because I'm not as upstate as those guys. So, like, all those guys are upstate. They all know each other. And you got me coming in, a little downstate guy. He's like, who the hell is this guy? So, you know, I had to go up there. And, yeah, I knew, like, the coaches and stuff. So – it was easy.
Was Jim Hart coaching out?
Yeah, I had Jim Hart, yeah. Right. Like, I had those guys, and, like, obviously they recruited me. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I know you guys, but, like, I don't really know the players. I actually try to get, like, JK to come with me sometimes, but he really didn't want to, you know. So I was up there by myself. You know, there was times where we had practice in Syracuse, so I'm driving 3.5-4 hours every weekend to go to practice. And, like, all these guys know each other, and then it's just me kind of by myself. But it was easy once we started playing. Me and JJ are like brothers now. We're super close. Me and Marcus are super close. You got Jonathan Beagle. We're super close.
My son, JB.
So we're all – that's as crazy what a basketball can do to relationships. You know, now we're all brothers, you know, for life. So if I ever have the chance to, I would definitely play with all of those guys again, you know, and I'd do it in a heartbeat. You know, I give everything up to play with those guys again. But yeah, we were super close. And Keith, bro, that's my guy. I just seen him the other weekend. He's another City Rock guy who doesn't get enough love. But we had a really good team, and we didn't have a shit ton of 5-4 stars. But, you know, we gave a lot of guys the work. You know, we upset a lot of teams who did have 4 or 5 stars. So that whole star thing didn't matter. But, yeah, bro, those are my guys for sure. And I'm happy I get to play a lot of them again, because – there's a lot of City Rock guys that play in the MAC. You know, Siena got a lot of them. You know, and then
BC.
Yeah, exactly. BC, that's my dog.
Uh-huh.
You got Gavin Doty. You know, that's my guy. Yeah, it's a lot of guys. And, you know, I'm just happy I could just still play against them, you know, and compete with them.
Nah, that's tough, bro. City Rock's definitely a good organization, too, playing at a really high level. Jim Hart doing a really good job. But this is one of our last questions. So you dominate all year, bro. I'm looking at your stats. You scored 578 points this year. That's OD. Average 18 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, great stat line. So I'm just kind of curious, like, how are you gauging, like, what a successful year for Amari is next year? But also, like, what are the are you trying to get drafted? You said scouts talking to you now. So just talk about, like, the future for Amari.
Yeah, so I definitely – I have another year of college after, you know, my next year. So I think either way, like, if everything goes how I think it should go, I am going to declare, you know. So hopefully I have an even better year than I did this year. You know, there's enough NBA teams that, you know, I guess kind of reach out to my people that, you know, has me thinking, okay, you can declare, you know, you got to do is work on these things. And that's my efficiency, you know, being more of a three-level scorer and handling the ball more. You know, my defense is there. You know, if I just continue to play defense, not be a cool guy, you know, not playing defense, only work about offense, and I'll be fine. Average a little more. Obviously, like, it's not all about points, but, you know, I don't want to have a fall in my averages, you know, unless average freaking 13 rebounds or something like that. But I would love to average a double-double, you know, and, you know, average more steals than I did this year. And then just be more efficient. That was the biggest thing, is being more efficient. And then, you know, get on those draft boards, you know, and then do all the NBA draft workouts next year and, you know, just take that next level. And then, you know, if that doesn't work out, you know, then go back to college, you know, and go play somewhere else with a degree under my belt and, you know, play freely and just have fun while doing it.
Yeah, bro. I heard a clip from your interview. You said that after you finish this year at Quinnipiac and you do everything you need to do, that the coaching staff, they said they're going to kick you off campus, bro. Yeah,
they definitely say there's no coming back after this year.
So. That's dope, bro. They know what you need to do. Feel me? They know what you need to do.
And that just shows you why I came back. You know, they're very genuine. You know, they just want what's best for me. You know, when I didn't enter, they were there helping me. It's not like they were pulling me back. You know, they were helping me with everything I needed to be helped with. So it's very genuine. And then again, that's why I came back. But
fire, bro. I mean, it's been a great episode with you. We definitely enjoyed, you know, the conversation. But before we end it, we got rapid fire and starting five. I'm going to do rapid fire. KJ's going to do starting five. But you ready, though, or not?
Ready, I'm ready.
All right. So first rapid fire question we got. So we asked DeJour this question, his favorite player to play against in the MAC. He said you. And so I'm going to ask you the same question. Don't feel any pressure to say DeJour. It's all right, bro. You can say somebody else, but I'm just wondering if you got anyone in mind.
I think my favorite player to play against was, I want to say, Amari Stewart from Sacred Heart. Those Sacred Heart guys got to me. And honestly, they brought the best out of me because the first game I started pretty slow, I think, and ended up with like 20 and 11 or something like that, And then the second game I had like 25 and 16 or no, 25 and 19.
Oh yeah. You went crazy. Yeah, my like God.
They definitely pull out the best of me. And they're just so competitive. They play gritty, you know, and honestly, I would say the whole team, you know, my favorite matchup is that whole team. Cause they don't get a lot of love, but they're gritty, you know, they're a good team and they're going to be really good next year. But DeRees is definitely up there too. I mean, I don't really get to guard him a lot, but you know, he goes to work every night we play him, and we got super close as the year went on. So it would definitely go Sacred Heart and Iona for sure, no brainer.
Nah, I mean, respect him as your peers, bro. That's the biggest compliment for sure.
For sure.
Next rapid fire question I got for you. So if I'm not mistaken, Quinnipiac, did they win the national championship for hockey last year or no?
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
It's not really a rapid fire question, but can you just kind of talk about your experience with the, because you said you'd be going out a little bit, just the experience, yeah, you know, with other teams on campus,
yeah,
and going out seeing that Quinnipiac real quick.
No, honestly, me and the hockey guards like this, like, can't get any closer, to be honest. Every time we go out, it's our teams together, or at least it's me with them. But even like baseball guys are super cool, lacrosse, like, we're all close. And last year, not as much, but this year, super close. Like, can't get any closer. You know, there's no going out without being with other teams. And, even like our girls teams, our girls hockey team, we're super close. Our girls basketball team, the soccer team, tennis, like you name it, literally every team, you know, volleyball, you know, shout out to the volleyball girls. Like we're all close, you know, and it's just a community at Quinnipiac.
Yeah, shout out to them for real.
Next rapid fire question we got for you. Top three A45 towns. Let's do that.
Oh, bet. Dang, that's a good one. Well, I'm definitely going us number one, you know, and I'll back it up any day of the week. Shoot. So I got family in Beacon, you know, so I don't think they're going to like this answer, but, you know, I mean, PK won the Interwar Classic 2 years back to back. So I got to go with him number two, and then I'll go Beacon number three for sure.
Yo, that's mad tough. Ruda, what was the thing we were talking with Sam Peake about? Like, you asked him who the best player in the A45 was?
Yeah. Top players that he's played against, maybe, I think.
We was just having this conversation, who's better, him, Elijah Hughes, and there was a third option. You remember who it was?
It was Tyrese, it was Sam, it was Elijah, and then there was this one, Malachi D'Souza, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Who you got?
So I think I definitely got E. E's actually, he pulled out the best of me, to be honest. When I got back from, I was working out with him like every day in the summer, you know, and it was 2-a-days, you know, he definitely put me under his wing. You know, he low broed me, and shout out to E. That's my brother. I love him. He definitely got me to where I was at Quinnipiac. We're doing 2-a-days, 8 a.m, lifting and then going to work out. Shout out to him. I appreciate him more than he knows for sure.
Nah, I've heard he takes a lot of the 845 hoopers, like the young ones under his wing, bro. I respect
that. He doesn't get enough credit. He's the GOAT for sure. He's definitely the guy.
No, that's because he's doing that and the in the water classic. So that's mad tough. But we're going to end this episode with starting five edition. So if you're a coach assembling a lineup, point guard through center, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition going to be the best hoopers that you've played against. So it could be from EYBL, prep school, college, whatever. And just tell me where they played at and what position they're going to play in your lineup.
All right, I think I'm going to start with a five. I think my five is kind of a no-brainer. He was like a man against boys, bro. Jalen Duren at the five. Played him at – he was on final. I think my four, it's either Imani Bates or Kyle Filipowski. I think I'll go Flip. So, actually, me and Flip grew up playing against each other. Flip is a Pine Bush kid, which is the A45. Local guys. So, we literally grew up playing against each other. He kind of disappeared when Ghost and then popped out a Duke superstar. So I think I'll go with him at the four. The three, I'll probably go Brandon Miller. I played him against Brad Bill. And then his teammate, Nick Smith Jr., he gave us 30. I'll probably put him at the two. My one is super tough. Like,
there's a lot of options for the one.
A lot. Shoot. It's a good one, bro. I don't even know if I can answer this one. Xavier Lee was tough.
Xavier Lee, nice, bro. Where'd you play him at? In AAU?
Nah.
This year?
When I was at South Kent.
Okay.
Ricky Oman. Definitely went to work.
Nah, that's a tough one.
Out there, bro. Even like, it depends if you put Kaysen Wallace at the one.
Played him. That boy.
Yeah, he definitely worked. Me and him went back and forth. Melo was sitting courtside too, so yeah. It was a good game. It was a lot of guys, bro. You know, that's a blessing. You know, just seeing all these guys in the league now. So I'm definitely like, if they are, you know, I could definitely do it too.
You next, bro. But
yeah, bro, that's the main.
That's gonna do it for another episode of Not Even D2. We appreciate you getting on. Been a valid episode, and we definitely room for you next year, bro. Go crazy.
Appreciate y'all, bro.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.